See, now every time I pee, I have to search my ball sack for the scar.
Is that a real thing?
Yes.
Is that like you have to, or you just
No. Like
it's like a compulsion.
Well, yeah, because like it used when it was first when I first
had
it.
Way of saying it, actually, compulsion. That's the word I was.
Yeah.
When I first had it done, I mean, it was really the spot.
It was just like, hey, I gotta look at feel that I got a scar.
Yeah, like, and they didn't even put a suture in it.
Yeah.
Because it was so small.
They glued it.
They didn't even have to glue it.
They just put a Band-Aid on it.
Well, not even that. They said, here's some gauze. And it really didn't even bleed that much. I mean, a little bit. Not much. I almost saw my underwear. Not much. But,
Now your balls are bleeding.
But, for a while there, you
volunteered to go in, have a scalpel in your junk, and then start menstruating for 3 weeks?
No, it wouldn't even... It was like
it was less than one day.
One day was all the bleeding.
It was less than a day, and it was less than what would cover the pad on a Band-Aid.
Girls would envy you.
Yes, they do. No. But the weird part about the vasectomy, if we're going to talk about the vasectomy, the weird part about the vasectomy wasn't really getting it done. I mean, it's weird because I had to go in, like, the first, whenever you see the urologist, the first thing he says is drop your pants. And that...
Like, hi, I'm Doc. Drop your drawers.
Yeah, like Isla was with me for the first one, because they want your wife there when you're doing the counseling session, basically, where they talk about it. They want to make sure the wife's on board and you're not just, like,
snipping.
Because... But anyway, so you go in, Doc walks in, and he's like, all right, nice to meet you. Drop your pants. Let's see what you got.
Yeah.
Let's see what you got.
Yes!
Yeah. Let's see what
I'm like, all right. So I drop my band, slips on the glove, and you reach up. And he's like at a meat market. He's like, ooh, good weight. Nice and firm there. That's No. Everything's up. Yeah.
Like, okay,
you're all good. We can do this.
And this is going to go right here, and you need to make sure you shave.
Yeah. That was the other thing. He was like, all right, you need to do some magic. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And actually, Isla did.
Yeah. Isla looks at me and goes, I gotta go shave his balls. I'm like, do caricatures or patterns. Put a lightning bolt on it.
Yeah.
Can you speed narrow that shit?
Oh, fuck no.
Skin's too sensitive.
No, we actually got down there with the razor and... It's fucking hard to shave your balls.
Like
Jesus
a straight
Christ.
Razor.
They're not firm.
They're not firm, so you have to stretch the scrotal skin out so that you can get a good shave on it. Like, you know,
it's all
right, hold it this way.
You don't have to explain it to us. We've shaved our balls before.
Oh, have you?
I have not. I had never shaved my balls.
I'd never shaved my balls until then.
My ex told me she would shave hers if I shaved mine.
Yeah, I heard that too. I heard that, but it wasn't a girlfriend. It was just I heard a girl say that in passing, and I was like, I'll give it a shot, and I was like, I like it.
Isla, did you like a better shape? It's starting to grow in. It's still pretty smooth, but starting to grow in. Did you like it better shape?
I didn't do a contrast compare on it. So,
no. Isla, you've got 10 years with me without shaved balls. I mean, it should be pretty, you'd think it would be pretty drastic.
Does it make a difference in the
world? Okay, apparently,
you
there
trim.
You have it.
You don't
clean.
Shave completely.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I do now.
You trim. Mm-hmm. You don't ever go bare skin unless it's medical. You trim.
Yeah.
Well, see, what I used to do is I'd trim the pubis, the pubal, pubicle, my cock, my superior vena caucus, and then
the hedge around the pole.
There you go. Thank you, sir. I trim my hedges, my pole hedges, my pulges, if you will, and then I'd shave the undercarriage.
So back to my story. No, that was the first weird thing. It's like even the second time, like he comes up because the first time was at the freaking counseling. And the second time. Walking back there, and I'm, like, sitting back there for probably 15 minutes, just, like, trying to read whatever magazines that back there. And, like, hey, September 2009, new technology. Look at that.
A Dreamcast. Wow.
Look, this cell phone can take a picture.
Wow. Don't know what you do with it. I mean, it's like
0.5 megapixels, man.
High class. But anyway, so I'm back there, and finally he comes in, and it's just immediate. All right, hey, good to see you. Drop your pants. Drop your pants, come up. All right, so I drop my pants, climb up there, and, you know, he's got the... It's kind of like a low chair that leans back just a little, not like a full surgical table, right? So, I hop up there. My pants are just around my ankles. It's not like not... I didn't, like, throw them across the room or anything. They're just around my ankles. I'm back up there. And he's like, all right, you're going to feel a prick and a burn. I'm like, oh, shit. But it was just a quick prick and a burn, and then nothing there. And he's like, all right, this is going to be a little deeper. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
We're going deeper.
I feel pressure, and then I feel like an ache in my junk, and then nothing. And then, again, on the other side, and then nothing. And then I didn't feel anything for the whole rest of the surgery. And it was at this point that he starts talking fantasy football. And for the entire length of the surgery, we discussed fantasy football picks.
How long was it?
Maybe 10 minutes.
We waited longer than it took for the procedure.
Yeah. So I'm in there, and he's like I feel him make the incision, and then I feel him clamp onto something, and just, like, the pressure, feel something hanging against my leg, and, like, something, like, pulling my junk over to the right, but it doesn't hurt at all. It's just, like, pressure. I'm like, well, that's weird. And he's sitting there talking, and I'm talking to him, and I really am not noticing what's going down there, because I can't really see, because he's here, and I'm laying back like this.
And then I looked down, and I went, ah!
Yeah, that's something I would never be able to watch.
Yeah, well, and I was like, I don't really want to watch him invading my testicles. That just does not seem like something I want an eye on. I would rather, you know, watch his face, but it's still kind of freaking me out because...
You want eye contact when a guy's invading your junk.
Yes! Thank you.
Okay.
But yeah, so I'm sitting here talking to him, and I get to this point when he was trying to think of a name, and he just stops. He's got his hands on my junk, just stopping, trying to think of this name. And I'm like, oh, shit. He's, like, lost in the conversation. He's not thinking about what he's doing. But no, he was done. He was literally taking that moment to put pressure on the incision site to get it to start closing up because he was done. And I was like, what, that's it? He's like, yeah, we're done. Yeah, good talking to you. I'm glad you won your fantasy football.
Get them all out.
And he leaves. No, I had to stay there because actually he hopped. All right, so he left me the wad of gauze, which was just like this big pad of gauze. And so I pulled my pants and I'm like stuffing the wad of gauze in there so it'll be up against my junk. And I'm like, okay, I think I'm done. So I start. I go out in the room and take a couple steps. And the nurse is like, oh no, sir, we got a couple more things for you. Just go back to your room. Well, okay. So I go back and then. Nurse brings me two specimen cups, and like, all right, after the 18th ejaculation, we want to catch a sample, bring it in, we'll test it, and then
3 months
after we'll do the second test, because there's a chance, the first chance is that the surgery itself didn't go well, and so there's still live sperm, so they want to check at the 18th ejaculation, because that apparently that's the magic number where you've cleaned your pipes. So 18th ejaculation, they check for sperm in the sample. And there's actually three states. There's, like, if you've got live sperm in the sample, it's a fail. Any live sperm. If you've got dead sperm in the sample, it's a pass but not a clear. I don't know what that means.
It means there's still a possibility.
Yeah. And then if you've got no sperm in the sample, that's an all clear. But then they want you to do it in 3 months because apparently in the space between the first month and the third month, someone there's a chance that, like, the two ends of the vas deferens can grow back together. And you start releasing sperm back through.
I have a question. I'm hoping, as an inquisitive mind, you asked this too, because I've always been curious about how this works. But where does it go if the tubes are broken?
I actually researched it. I didn't ask him, but I researched several different places. There are processes in the body that naturally break down body tissues as needed, cell aphages. The sperm, since it can't get out the vas deferens, it stays backed up in I can't remember the name of the structure. There's a structure that is basically a holding area where the sperm matures. After a sperm's created, it has a time before it's like, you know, ready to go sperm, where it's a baby sperm, and it's got to get into a fully adult sperm before it can actually do its job of making a baby. So it hangs out in this little area. Well, after you cut that off, it's the same as if, you know, you're not actually, if you never jacked off. If
you were a priest. Or what a priest is supposed to be.
Yeah, but we won't go there. But if same as if you just normally didn't ejaculate, it would build up and then the cellophages come in and break down old sperm, return the parts back to for the cells to use, and just keeps going. Hmm. One in like several 10,000 men experiences like. They build up sperm too fast for the cellophages to keep up with, and they'll experience some amount of pain, but they've got treatments for that where they can, I'm not sure exactly what they do, but it's a known issue, and it happens very, very infrequently.
I am never getting a vasectomy.
No.
I have determined just now.
Well, it's, the pain is less than being kicked in the junk. It's not a lifelong thing.
So
it's like
be a dull, achy pain.
Yeah, and it's one that they can treat and get rid of.
Achy pain.
Yeah, and it's not even a permanent pain. It's like if you identify it, you go in, you get the treatment for it, and you're done. And honestly, the thing that was the deciding factor for me: number one, I don't need any more babies. I got plenty. Number two, of the permanent options, you know, it's either that or tubal ligation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Under my insurance, it cost me $100. That was my out-of-pocket, which I paid out of, like, our flexible spending account. So, nothing out of my actual paycheck, right? Go in, swipe a card, $100, done. This process itself, the surgery itself, like I said, took less than 10 minutes. I was home, I had some swelling, and I was a little achy, but I think I constantly said I felt better than I thought I would. You know, I kept ice on it, but I only needed the ice for, like, the first day, and it's only, like, 10 minutes at a time. And even then, it wasn't like I had ice junk. You know, I put it outside my underwear, so there was...
Yeah, those frozen peas if I were you.
We'd used actual ice sacks, but even then, it was just to lower the temperature a little bit to keep it, and it was nothing, right? You know, I was a little achy for a couple of weeks.
Advil for the swelling?
After like 2 days.
Yeah,
like, after
there were.
That you didn't really need it.
Yeah, I mean, it was. There was no. I've experienced since then no pain. Like we said, right now we're playing find the scar because we can't. Unless you're. I actually found it this time. Unless you're really, really looking for it, it's not very visible. Mm-hmm. Versus tubal ligation. Tubal ligation is a. Like a 2-hour surgery. You are in the hospital overnight. There is way, like, thousands of higher times chance of complication. And it's less effective as permanent birth control.
The situation where tubal ligation is a better option is when you know for a fact that it's your last child and it's a C-section.
Yeah, where they're already there and...
They're already cut in there. That's when it's a more viable option.
But that's...
Which is how my mother did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
She knew that 2 was her limit. She didn't want any more kids.
And actually, my mom did the same thing.
Yeah, my sister was already a C-section baby.
My mom did the same thing, too.
Yeah. They were already in there, so they were like, all right, well, we can just... tie her up if you guys don't want any more kids. And they're like, yep, we don't want any more kids. So they tied her up. That was it.
My parents would never tell me what they did. Never told me.
For whatever reason, I think my dad has a vasectomy and my mom got her tubes tied. I think they both...
You should be concerned about that.
Why?
Only if you're concerned about your parents' sex life.
Why is there... Why is there meat on the floor? Yeah. Jeremy, did you put your meat out?
Yeah, he did.
Ew. This is chilling.
Better.
One more time, go.
dust on the wind. Rise in the night. Fires burn the sky. All we know is right. There's tears on the road. Footsteps in the mud. Run to the wall as the streets begin to flood. We are the stolen children. The faceless have no land. We'll give the trees their eyes, and we draw lines in the sand. No man trap us. No law keeps us down. No fighting nature. No way but to drown. The souls of the forest watch us as we sleep. They're ours to know. Children, the faceless have no land. We'll give the trees their eyes, and we draw lines in the sand. Come, bring your armies. The forests shield my dreams. My spirits will protect me. Will fill the streams. No force can ever take me. The spirits guide my hand. The storms will burn the bridges while I draw lines in the sand. We are the stolen children. Have no land. We'll give the trees their eyes, and we draw lines in the sand.